It's the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. Major League Baseball's Cleveland Indians recently announced that the team will retire with conditions its controversial Chief Wahoo logo, which critics have called inappropriate and racist. While it's a high-profile example of one professional team moving away from Native American imagery, hundreds of communities across the country are having similar debates at the high school and college levels to varying results. This hour, we talk about whether or not Cleveland's decision will have a ripple effect in the sports world, and we'll examine the debate over over Native American team names, logos, and mascots in Wisconsin and beyond. Our guest is Christine Munson. She is a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. She is also an enrolled member of the Oneida Nation, and she is a graduate of Mosinee High School, which still calls its sports teams the Indians. So what do you make of Cleveland's decision to retire the Chief Wahoo logo? Do you see this as a step in the right direction, or is sports becoming too politically correct? And what do you think of Native American names, logos, and mascots in our high schools? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, Christine, let's start with Cleveland's decision to retire Chief Logo, Chief Wahoo. Beginning in 2019, the logo will no longer be seen on the team's uniforms or on banners and signs in Progressive Field. However, consumers will still be able to purchase items with the logo on them at the team's souvenir shops at the stadium and at retail outlets. The items will not be on sale at the Major League Baseball website. So what's your reaction to this announcement, and do you think it goes far enough?
Well, first of all, Sigoli and Skunagoga, good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you. My initial response when I saw this coming through my news feeds was, is this for real? I was a skeptic, I'll be honest. And when I looked at a few of the news sources and kind of read into it a little bit more, I was pleasantly surprised. So, you know, a lot of work, obviously, from the end of Major League Baseball. And knowing that the Cleveland team has been, you know, they've been part of this story for decades now, I'm glad that they made the decision that they did. Obviously, you know, from one end to a spectrum to another, some people are saying it would be, you know, this is a step. They're holding on to the name. They're still selling merchandise. They're still profiting from this imagery. On the other hand, it offers an opportunity to have discussions and dialogues. And, you know, people are asking, is this going to have impact with other venues across the nation within individual states. So certainly news like this offers opportunity to continue the discussion of race-based mascots.
What do you find particularly objectionable about this mascot? It's really kind of a glaring caricature of a Native American person.
Sure. I think you wrapped that up quite nicely. It's a stereotype. It's imagery that is around a race of people who are still alive today, and people are profiting on a racist image. So I think those are where my core discontent comes. You know, this is a different arena when we're talking about national sports teams, professional sports teams. The bottom line is really about money when we're talking about these enterprises. The work that I've been doing in the state of Wisconsin has really been focused on educational K-12 public school pieces. And so there's, you know, there's different purposes for these entities. And when one of them is based on money and profit, the conversation's a little bit different, too.
Well, tell us about your work that you just mentioned, the work on the K-12 level.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned in the intro, I'm a graduate of Mosinee High School. I graduated in 1992. When I was growing up in central Wisconsin, for people who lived in the state or maybe who were outside the state but at the time, may recall that the Ojibwe people were exercising their treaty rights through the 80s and the 90s, and it was a huge piece of contention for some. And the racial overtones of what was happening in the state around spearfishing spilled into what was happening in the schools as well. So as a student in Mulzinee with an Indian mascot, with classmates who would then protest Ojibwe people at the boat landings, I recognized that there was a little bit of a hypocrisy there. So I questioned that, and it couldn't make sense of how people could cheer to be the Indians on the football field and then go with family to the boat landings and throw rocks at actual Indian people that were exercising their rights.
And you were an Indian at Mulzinee High School, a Native American student at Mulzinee High School while the spearfishing controversy was happening.
Yep, I'm an Indian wherever I go. So, while I was a student there, I'm a member of the United Nation in central Wisconsin. We don't have a huge population of Native folks. We're not close to any single, larger community. Oneida is located outside of the Green Bay area. So, I was one of the few families that were Native in the town. And it absolutely impacted how I saw myself, if I fit in or not. And I can certainly state that I did not feel like I fit into my school and to my community, because people were talking about spearing Indians and saving walleyes and wanting to put this on their T-shirts, and people had tar stickers on their book covers. And hanging up in their lockers. That was an organization that was anti-Indian and anti-treaty rights. Go ahead.
Yeah, Christine, there's still a lot of polarization out there on this issue of Native American team names, mascots, and logos. Invariably, the people, the sports fans, or in the case of high schools, the folks who are running those schools will claim that they are honoring Indians by having these logos. What's your response to them?
I think there are a lot of ways that I see Native honoring each other and honoring other groups of people. None of them include taking on someone else's identity and pretending to be something they're not. So we have lots of examples of how schools can honor Native people if that's what they want to do. There are some schools who will name their school or their district after an individual person, and rather than using the mascot of a Native person as their imagery, they may be something completely distant from that Native connotation, but acknowledge important Native people that have been part of the community. I think if schools would adhere to Act 31 or the American Indian Studies Statute and teach about sovereignty of the tribes, about language, history, culture of the tribes throughout their curriculum, that would be a wonderful way to honor American Indian people.
Well, in your own case, supporters of the Indian name in Mulzinee say it's part of the history of that community. Mulzinee was supposedly named after a local Indian chief who was known for his honesty. I'm sure you've had to respond to that argument before, so why don't you respond it here to it here for
sure.
Our listeners?
And not only have myself and my family responded to it, but we've actually done some of the research to find out who actually was this person. The person that people are often referring to was termed as Chief Waha Gunta. Believe it or not, that was not his real name. It was an image of a man who had come through the railway with the paper industry. He had a very wrinkled face, and someone took his picture, and he became somewhat of a mascot of Mulzinee for the paper industry. And through the years, different places, the Mulzinee Telephone Company for a long time had been on the front page of the phone book until that was removed. But the history that Mulzinee tells of its Indian past is not accurate. And so part of what's really important and goes back to how can we honor people is what is our true, what's the real history? What's the real story that's going on? Because the myth that gets passed along, it's just that. It's not.
It's a myth.
Not based in truth.
Yeah, Christine, we're going to take a news break. What I'd like you to do is hang up your phone right now. We're going to call you back and try to reconnect. We've got kind of a spotty connection. We are talking with Christine Munson. She's a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. We're talking about the decision by the Cleveland Indians to retire Chief Wahoo. Christine also graduated from Mosinee High School, which has been the focus of controversy over the use of the word Indians for its sports teams. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We'll be back with more of your questions and comments in just a bit. But first, this news. We are talking with Christine Munson, a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association, about the decision by the Cleveland Indians to retire Chief Wahoo. Christine also graduated from Mosinee High School, which has been the focus of controversy over the use of the word Indians for its sports teams. I'm Glenn Mobergen in for Kate Archer Kent. And if you've got an opinion on this, and a lot of people apparently do, please give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We did ask our Facebook followers whether teams with Native American logos and names should have to change. Brandon posted no. He thinks they should change willingly. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Sarah from Zion. Sarah, you're on with Christine Munson on the morning show.
Hi, thank you very much. I hope I can explain this well. I've thought about this for a long time and all the different arguments, and then it just came down for me to a really basic idea, which is that when you've got mascots based on identity, it depends on who is the majority, who has the power, and who is doing the naming. And like in the Vikings, that those people decided to use that name, and it happens to be the name of the heritage of the dominant group in Minnesota, which is people of Norwegian, Scandinavian heritage. So if they want to call it after themselves, there's no problem. But here, in this situation, you've got the dominant people deciding to take the identity of a minority group that has historically not had power and deciding it's okay for them to just use their identity and not even ask their permission. And they don't care if it's okay with them or not okay with them. And that's just not right.
Sarah, thanks so much for the call. Christine?
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction. Another distinction that comes up in bringing up the Vikings is the Vikings is an occupation, whereas when we're talking about the Indian mascots in this case or other race-based mascots, we're really talking about identities of human beings. And so just another distinction in that piece. But there certainly is an odd sense, and I remember this being in school, where people would chant or their response was that we're the Mosinee Indians or I'm an Indian. Like, well, but you're not. Like, I have tribal affiliation. I vote with Oneida Nation. I've got a tribal ID card. You know, it's a weird space to be in when people identify as something that they really are not. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, Christine, I want to explore a little bit more your experience at Mosinee High School and talk about some recent events. There was a recent push by a group of Mosinee High School students to change the name of their athletic teams from the Indians. And a few weeks ago, the Mosinee School Board struck down that proposal. The group of high school students did conduct a survey that showed that more than 1,400 people responded in support of the change. The current mascot of the Indians is just a block M because they retired the actual image of the Indian in the headdress a few years back. Give us your impressions of this student drive to change the logo and the name of the high school team that you grew up in.
Sure. I have so much respect for the young people that took on this issue. When I was living in the community and going to school there, it was, it was a different time, but it was hard to talk about the issue. It was hard to bring it up because it was so unpopular. I can't imagine that it's any more popular talking about changing the name, but the energy and the effort that young people brought forward in Mulzinie, I have so much respect for those, for the young people and for the adults in the community that supported them along the way. I think it really shines light on the fact that we all have different influences and power in what we do in our daily life. And there are people that sit on school boards, there are superintendents, there are people who are making decisions regarding our public schools. And those people carry really critical decisions with what they do. And in the case of Mulzinie, a majority of people chose to kind of stick with the past rather than look forward into the future and embrace the work that these young people have done.
And did it surprise you, Christine, that the school board voted not to move forward with the change by only one vote?
I wish I wasn't as jaded as I am, but no, it didn't surprise me. I remember, you know, going to school board meetings myself and pouring my heart out, to be honest, and really talking about the experiences that I had in the Mulzinie halls. And that, too, came to a vote of it was, you know, a difference of one for either keeping mascots or removing mascots. But what it tells me is that there are people who are working on understanding this issue. There's people who certainly do understand the issue and are looking to learn more. And that this is certainly, you know, it's not the end. So it's just where we are in the conversation and in the evolution of these archaic images.
Well, your mother, Barb Munson, has been a vocal opponent of Mulzinie's Indian mascot and logo for decades. She deliberately kept a low profile during this last push by the high school students. Why was that?
I think you'd have to talk to my mom about that. you know, part of...
Well, I do know the... Christine, I do know the answer to that. I did talk to her about it, and she said she didn't want to poison the waters. She thought she was too much of a target, her opinion was too volatile in the community given her past history, and she wanted to leave it to the students.
Mm-hmm.
But she also sued the school district back in the 1990s, in which she argued that the logo harmed a handful of Native American students there. I presume that you were one of them. In the court records, one student recalled being called a stupid Indian and was taunted with line that Indians should be killed, not the fish. That, of course, was back during the walleye spearing controversy. And the court records also indicate that students would mimic Indian dancing and make stereotypic war cries. Why? I think we know the answer to this, but I'd like to hear it in your own words, what it's like to be a Native American student when things like that are going on.
Sure. And I think we can look at any point in time when there's something across the state or across the nation that's kind of making news, those things trickle down into the schools. When I was going to school there, it was the spearfishing controversy. You know, in the 90s and into the 2000s, there was a lot of controversy and misinformation about Indian gaming and that kind of trickled through. But overall, what happens is there are just an awful lot of stereotypes and misinformation and inaccurate information about American Indian people. And because of that, the students who are, you know, going to school trying to learn and get an education and, you know, go on to reach whatever their next goals are, are also having to deal with people questioning their identity, people questioning, you know, why do you believe this way, being told, I was told to go back to where I came from. Like, you're telling a Native person to go back to where they came from. That's a little odd. But those, the bullying that happens is real. And the role of educators and of our administrations and our school boards is to create environments that are conducive to learning. And part of that means, how do we address bullying in the schools? And part of bullying is racial stereotyping and mascots that are race-based racial stereotypes.
Well, one student in that lawsuit was quoted as saying the Indian stereotype in this case being used as a symbol for a team, it implies that Indians are savage and warlike people.
And, you know, that's where we get into what's the stereotype. Chief Wahoo certainly has one stereotype that kind of has that dopey, big nose, goofy kind of look to him. A lot of the mascots in Wisconsin are the profile of the chief or the headdress. And it limits what people know or understand about Native people. If what you know about Native people is what you see on TV, in Westerns, on tobacco commercials or chewing tobacco and your school mascots, that's a very limited perspective and does not open up the opportunity to learn about the Native people who are here today, looking at what the concerns are or what the hopes are and what all the gifts and richness that the tribes in Wisconsin bring to the state.
We're talking with Christine Munson. She's a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. We're talking about the decision by the Cleveland Indians to retire Chief Wahoo. We're also talking about Indian mascots in our high schools in Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Mobrig in for Kate Archer-Kent. We do want to hear from you if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paul from Eau Claire emailed. He asks, so what if Indian logos are offensive? Seriously, so what? If Native American logos are offensive to you, it's on you, not everyone else. Could you respond to that, Christine?
Sure. I think, if we're talking about something that's happening, passing somebody on the street and saying, hey, what do you think about this? Well, I don't like it or I do like it. Certainly, there's opinion. What I'm talking about and what the work that I've been part of through Wisconsin Indian Education Association is really focused on our K-12 schools. And in every bit of bones, I believe, what happens in our schools does matter. And when we're talking about schools holding on to Indian mascots, it's something we should all be concerned about. Research has shown that the self-esteem of Native people are negatively impacted by the use of racial mascots. That should be a concern. If we live in a district that's holding on to one of those logos or images or nicknames, we are impacting harm on people. And that harm isn't limited to American Indian students. It harms everybody. Another piece of research has shown that people who grow up or are subject to seeing racial stereotypes of Native people find it easier to stereotype other groups of people. So it's not limited to impacting only American Indian people. It's not limited to only American Indian mascots. These forms of institutionalized racism matter, and they're not good for our society. I'm intrigued. There was a piece about what keeps young people in community. I'm going to listen to that because I'm interested to find out how, if people feel like they fit in a community, are they more likely to stay? And certainly what happens in our schools, in the halls, in the curriculum, that matters.
So you're saying that keeping a Native American mascot or an Indian name for a team could actually keep young professionals and the movers and shakers from moving into your community, and it could hurt the future economic development. Let's go to the phones. We've got Jeff in Prescott. Jeff, you're on the morning show with Christine Munson.
Good morning. Thanks for talking about this topic. It is a tremendously important topic that isn't just important to Native people, but I would argue all Wisconsinites. First of all, Chris does great work. The Wisconsin Indian Education Association has information, as do the tribal nations, that they are willing to share with school districts. And I think it's important to identify that there are about 30 schools over the last two decades that have voluntarily changed their logos. There are about 30 left. And the frustrating thing for me as a public school teacher is that there's information available, yet there are schools that are unwilling to access it. And there's so many people that are willing to help to explain, as Ms. Munson said, the harm, the negative impacts of endorsing, not just endorsing, but defending and supporting such imagery. It's very, very sad. I would argue that public schools, supported by public money, are embracing and defending a practice that promotes stereotyping, promotes bullying. And anybody in the public realm, there's no way in the world any parent would ever want their child to expose to a practice that, whether intentionally or unintentionally, does that.
Jeff, thanks so much for the phone call. I think you're preaching to the choir here. So rather than get a response from Christine immediately, we've got a lot of people lined up. We're going to go to another phone call right away. This is Angela in Burlington. Angela, you are on the morning show with Christine Munson.
Good morning. I just wanted to say I'm from Bozeman originally, and I didn't realize that this was actually going on, that they were trying to change the name again. It was in the high school in the 90s when this was going on, and then also when they were doing the spear phishing and trying to get that changed over, and there was so much ridiculous rhetoric back then against it. This has been going on for so long that I'm shocked to hear that it's going on yet again. I thought for sure by now it would have been changed. I don't live near Mosney anymore, but I'm shocked that it hasn't been changed yet, and incredibly disappointed in my hometown that they haven't done something about this. I know several people, not that they were Native American, but between Hispanic or Black, there was only one Black when I was going to school. But I mean, they were not treated well. I mean, it was a very stereotypical small town where if you weren't white, you weren't white, you know? So it was kind of a sad condition. And I thought by now the town would have actually gotten somewhere. And I think they should be worried about people not wanting to come there and invest, knowing this. I don't know if I'd stop through Mosney on the way going up north. I just don't know if I'd want to do that. That makes me incredibly sad that they haven't, that they haven't actually grown up a little bit.
Angela, we got it. I want to give Christine at least 25 seconds here to respond before we have to break for news. Very quickly, Christine.
Just want to say I know Mosney is looking at making a lot of changes in economic development, and I think that if business leaders and people in the community can keep an eye on this and understand the tone of this and are seeking for more information or understanding, that there are certainly resources and people that would be willing to connect. Just as Jeff mentioned, there's information out there. It's a matter of people wanting to receive it.
We are talking with Christine Munson. She is a member of the Windy Wisconsin Indian Education Association, a board member, about the decision by the Cleveland Indians to retire Chief Wahoo. Christine also graduated from Mosney High School, which has been the focus of controversy over the use of the word Indians for its sports teams. I'm Glenn Mober again for Kate Archer Kent. We'll be back with more of your questions and comments in just a bit, but first this news. It is the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent, and we are talking right now with Christine Munson. She is a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association, and the conversation involves the decision by the Cleveland Indians to retire Chief Wahoo. We are also touching on Native American mascots in Wisconsin and in high schools all across the country. Christine is a graduate of Mosney High School, which has been the focus of some controversy on that issue. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Rob from Canada. Rob, you are on the morning show with Christine Munson.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to just add a comment and kind of get back on track. People started talking about spearfishing and whatnot, but I am from Canada, and the irony is we don't seem to have these issues with our First Nation people. They seem to embrace using Indian culture into our culture and logos. But more specifically, I think there's hypocrisy saying that it's institutionalized racism. I don't know if you've ever been to Cleveland, but the stadium itself, the logo is endearing. You have 45,000 fans there cheering for this logo, and I don't see it as racist. I see it as a, you know, just kind of a cool mascot, and it's endearing to the fans.
Rob, thanks so much for the phone call. Christine, your reaction?
I would say that that's his perception. When I'm around spaces where there's Indian mascots, I do not feel I'm being honored. And from my personal experiences, it's counterintuitive to me to feel when people are mocking my race that I should feel honored about that.
Well, certainly there's a lot of attention right now being paid to the Cleveland Indians, but let's talk about the Washington Redskins, which, again, is a name that some sports announcers even refuse to pronounce on the air. What do you find particularly offensive about that, Christine? And I realize it's a rhetorical question.
Well, this one gets kind of deep, actually. So there's this is obviously the team that's in our nation's capital. And there has certainly been a long history of United States government interactions and American Indian populations. Many of them have been around forced removals, assimilation, genocidal practices, boarding schools, you know, a number of formal planned efforts to either remove American Indians or assimilate them to meet what this new American government wanted to see happen. So the fact that our nation's capital has the mascot of the Washington, our team is what some people call it, the Redskins. If you look in the dictionary and look up the term Redskin, you'll see it's a racial slur, and it is similar to terms that people don't say in reference to African Americans or Black people. So the fact that we are complacent or comfortable enough using that term, and then also feel for whatever reason that our nation's capital is a suiting place to have such a mascot, there's just a number of pieces that can get broken apart and discussed as far as that goes. Again, this is a national or a professional sports team, and the rationale and the kind of the impact of having that name is going to be a little bit different from what happens in public schools. But overall, I would say it would be a fine time for the Washington team to change its name. And I'll put the same for Kansas City and for Chicago team across the sports world.
Let's go to Tom in Green Bay. Tom, you're on the morning show with Christine Munson.
Thank you. I don't think it's the Native Americans that go to Mosinee High School or any school that has the Indian mascot. It's the schools that they compete against in sports, especially football, where they have a homecoming. In my hometown, the Bulldogs played the Shawnee Indians. And I remember a parent telling me how terrified her children were when they came home from school, when everybody was asked to draw pictures that were hung all over the walls of the schools and all over downtown, Indians being scalped, Indians being massacred, let's kill the Indians, let's shoot the Indians, including even in my yearbook, there's a float in which a New London Bulldog has a bow and arrow aimed at the head of a kid dressed as a little Indian, terrified.
Tom, thanks for sharing your experiences. Christine Munson, your reaction to what you just heard.
Yeah, Tom, I think that's a really important reminder that when we're, again, this is the K-12 system, but our schools don't stand alone in our own communities. This is part of a larger system. And as Tom pointed out, schools play other schools. And I've heard the argument from a district that holds an Indian mascot that it with honor and we treat it with respect and we do all of these good positive things. But all of that goes out the door when you go to an away game. You know, you don't have control over that. So I would also say that within my own town when I was going to school, again, American Indian people were not treated well, the actual living Indian people. So even within the school district, point that they honor the Indian or the mascot, it's odd to me that they may honor an image but not honor the actual living human beings that are there. In the case, you know, where when I was in school, there are supporting the Ojibwe people. You know, how many schools with Indian mascots right now are rallying behind the Menominee, trying to prevent the FBI? I don't see that. And yet they're talking about how they're honoring American Indians and respecting. So if that's the case, then let's get out and start backing Native people on the different efforts that they're trying to move forward.
Well, anytime there's an effort to change Indian mascots or Indian sports names, there's reaction. State lawmakers once tried to pass a bill to keep the University of North Dakota from dropping its nickname, the Fighting Sioux. And at Marquette University in Milwaukee, trustees were mocked for trying to change the team's name from the Warriors to the Gold. So you're really, you know, fighting an uphill battle in a lot of respects.
Thanks for pointing that out. No, that's very true. In the schools that I've worked with, there's backlash. And actually, when I heard about the young people in Multnomah taking on this issue, my first response was concern for these students. And are they ready for this? Do they know kind of what they're going up against? Because there have been school districts where school board members are recalled after their vote for changing a mascot, and they're removed from their position and replaced with somebody else. You mentioned Marquette. The work of Wisconsin Indian Education Association and the Mascot Logo Task Force has really been focused around three things. We look at education, we look at advocacy, and we look at legislation. And depending on, what's happening at the moment, different amounts of energy may go into each one of those prongs, but really wrapping around those three pieces, a lot of really good work can happen. So while legislatively and actually the number of schools changing mascots hasn't moved much the last couple of years in Wisconsin, there's certainly been a lot of education and a lot of advocacy that happened, whether it's looking at what students in the Prescott School District are doing. There's a group from Madison West that created a video that is being used across the state and the nation, looking at the use of mascots. There was a day of action in November, and UW Green Bay students had a full day of events around education and raising awareness on this issue. So, like I mentioned before, the issue is not going away. It's a matter of when people are willing and able to listen to it. And then for those who have power and can make decisions to change, when they're ready to take a step and make a hard decision, because certainly there is backlash.
Well, there's also a case in Illinois right now. It was a subject of a New York Times article recently. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where I went to school, they just retired about 10 years ago Chief Illiniwek as their mascot. But the students still show up at their sports events dressed in war paint, feathers, and beaded leather jackets. And some folks are saying that they should stop calling themselves the Illini because it just lends itself to that Indian imagery.
Right. Well, and I think that's some of the concerns that people have with where the Cleveland team is at, too. We know that Chief Wahoo's imagery is going to be removed, at least at the national level. Locally, people will be able to keep getting the merchandise. The name is staying. And so, this is a step in the direction that that we're wanting to see it go, but it's certainly not the end point.
I want to get one more Facebook post on here. Michael writes to us, I think it's helpful to think about why people find giving up their logos so problematic. And he says it has to do with nostalgia. When people age, they find the things of their youth disappearing. Perhaps the mascot is the hardest for them to give up. But he also writes, if they stop to think about what Native Americans had to give up, their land, their freedom, their lives, and their culture, I think it would be a little easier to digest. Christine.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I think that's true. I see pieces of that when I was going to the school board when I was younger, and reading the comments after the Molesby decision, too. There's a lot of that tenor. I think when we see the efforts of young people being blocked by people who are now my generation, you know, as I'm getting older, it does cause us to kind of stop and think, you know, why is this?
Chris, you got to wrap it up fast. We've got 15 seconds here.
Sure. Just to add that, you know, it is difficult to give things up. But as Michael pointed out, if we're, I guess, looking at this in the big picture, where do we want to go is the question.
Thank you so much for joining us. Christine Munson serves as a board member of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. She is also an enrolled member of the Oneida Nation. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina, Niaja Ellison, and Keely Butina. Michelle Johnson is the executive director and producer. Coming up tomorrow at this time, Dr. Neil Barnhard will debunk popular health myths about fad diets and treatments that are supposed to work wonders, but do not. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.